When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back, an SOB edition of Primetime. No Isaac, no Suk. It is Schulte, Ortner, and Buckley here with you. And joining us now, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks. We haven't talked to you, Coach, since the Big Ten championship game, so congratulations. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. It's good to talk to you guys. Congratulations on being the first alternates. You guys are up today. Let's go.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're holding it down until the boys get back from their break. Happy to talk with you. Actually, both Will and I have interviewed you in the past. It's just been a little while. I wanted to ask you first about this. I have been going through a bout of laryngitis, and there have been people, listeners on our program, who have told us that now I sound like you. Now, I know that you've got the patented Dan Lanning rasp going on, but I saw a video of you a couple days ago on Twitter when you were coaching at Memphis, and you didn't really have that rasp. Is this something that just disappeared on you at some point in time? Did your vocal cords say, like, we're done here?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, back in the high school days, man, I used to actually be able to have a nice, decent singing voice too, and that's gone for sure. So,
ooh, are you a crooner?
Yeah, the coaching voice is taking over.
Fair enough. Well, like I said, we haven't talked to you since before that Big Ten championship game. I wanted to wrap that up really quick. Obviously, you guys check off a huge goal for your season. You win the league in the first year in it. There were reports coming out after the game. I know that you guys don't make any excuses about stuff like this, but there was some sickness or a flu that might have been sweeping through the defense during that one. Any truth to that? And even though you guys aren't pointing to that, how proud are you guys to push through something like that? I saw some of your own players mention the Nico flu game after he came away with that big interception. You guys dealing with some extra stuff there that weekend?
We don't make excuses. No, it was we were good to go. It was a fun game to play, and they certainly did some great things. I mean, it's a great team to compete against. It was a great environment. You know, it was we're certainly a ton of Penn State fans in that crowd, and that made it, you know, made it fun for us. But we made it on the other end, got to play a really good opponent, and, you know, created an opportunity for our offense to play really well and put us in position to be able to have a successful game and create a situation where we've won games in multiple different ways this season. So no excuses from our end. It doesn't matter if you're healthy, not healthy, if somebody scratched, not scratched. I mean, that's football. So,
Coach, how are you preparing for this Rose Bowl? Like, obviously, you have to wait a little bit to see, are you playing Ohio State? Are you playing Tennessee? How have you gone into practice the last couple weeks? Are you self-scouting? Have you made calls to NFL coaches? Or on your staff, you have Coach Tink, who's gone through this at the D2 level. How do you prepare to play an opponent that you're not going to know who that opponent is until Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, yes to a lot of those questions. I mean, we started off early on really evaluating ourselves, and then have transitioned more recently to evaluating the two teams we're playing and kind of piece together a game plan for both of those teams, right? And you got the time to do it, so why not prepare for either one and then be ready whenever you figure out which one you got, and then, you know, identify do you still like that game plan. So we really devoted the beginning of our time towards us, and then more recently devoted our time, you know, a little bit to Ohio State and a little bit to Tennessee in prepping for both of those games.
And then, Coach, I'm curious, obviously, if you were to play Ohio State again, that's a rematch from a game earlier this year, whereas Tennessee would be a completely new opponent. How different is the preparation between seeing someone a second time and seeing someone the first time? And if it were Ohio State, are there things from your original scout, that your original work that you did, that you can still lean on? Or because it's so much later in the season, is it different personnel, different scheme, and you're starting from scratch?
Well, it certainly isn't starting from scratch. Yeah, I think you definitely lean on some of your prep from before. It doesn't mean you attack it the same way and have the same plan, but I think you use a lot of the things you recognize before, you know, within that game and lean on some of that, and then really evaluate the game itself, right, the game that we played in, and say, okay, what was good for us, what was poor for us, what can we do better? So I think all those things come into play.
How are you handling, like, the holidays with the guys so that they get a little bit of some rest and reprieve while also making the main thing, which is coming out of that Rose Bowl with a victory?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've been prepping all the way up to this point. Right before Christmas, our guys will get a little bit of time off, and then we'll come back and get back to prep. You know, I think it's a blessing not to have that much time right now, and that means you're doing something right. There's a lot of teams that get to be home for Christmas, and we're glad we're not necessarily one of those that are camping out for a while back home. You know, the fact that we get to still play is a blessing.
I know you've talked, or we've talked with you before about the calendar. It's not anything that we can control as far as the different dates that are happening with recruiting, the portal, things like that. But with so much going on, I mean, you guys had signing day on the 3rd, your championship game on the 7th, the portal opens on the 9th, you're at the Heisman on the 14th, then you've got Christmas and the Rose Bowl you're playing in. How do you juggle all this? And, like, you personally, are you just segmenting parts of your day, or are you getting to points where you're like, I need to spend this much more time on game prep, or this much more time on recruiting? How do you juggle it all?
Well, you plan it out, right? You plan it out, and the calendar is what the calendar is. So you try to make sure that you have a great plan for that and take advantage of the moments you have. And that's what we've done. We got a great staff here. You know, our calendar's mapped out 365 days. So, you know, we just actually went over part of it for our staff and told them where and when all of us were going to be all the way until the end of July. So you map that out in advance, and then you know, okay, this is what it looks like. How are you going to take advantage of that day? And you wake up every day and say, okay, what are my objectives and what do I want to accomplish?
Beautiful. You guys are dialed in on those details. I wanted to ask you also about that, the Heisman, and specifically just the award circuit in general. It's, I think, the second time you've gotten to do this, because with Bo doing it last year, I don't know if you were able to be part of any of those ceremonies when you were on previous staffs, yeah. But you get to, I'm guessing you get to cross paths with so many greats of the game, coaches, current players, former players. This time around, anybody who really stood out that you got to make acquaintance with for the first time?
You know, it goes so quick, you don't get a lot of time there because of what else is going on. So, I mean, I spent more time in traffic in New York than hanging out with other people. You get there, you go for the ceremony, and then you turn around and fly back. So we had recruits on campus that day. We had practice, you know, in Eugene that morning. So it was really a pretty quick turnaround for us getting there and then getting back. So didn't get a chance to really spend, got to shake some hands and say hi to some people, but it was pretty in and out kind of operation. But first class in every way. You know, also got the opportunity to go down and hang out with Bryce as he won the Burlsworth Award.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a really cool award for, you know, best walk-on. But we had several guys that were getting recognized last week, and that's awesome for them and their teammates to see them get that recognition.
What are you doing to, like, catch your breath or anything right now? Like, you're going to award ceremonies, you're recruiting, you're getting National Signing Day done, you're getting ready for second National Signing Day, you're practicing. Are you doing something special with the kiddos? You hanging out with some special family time to just get a breath so you're not fully just immersed? Or is it, hey, everyone, you can see me on January 21st. Until then, I am locked in. I'm not leaving. This is what I'm doing.
Well, we'll definitely get some time right around Christmas. You know, our coaching staff will have Christmas Eve and Christmas off, and that'll be a chance to do that. And when you get moments, you definitely try to take advantage of them. But there's, you know, those moments, there'll be more of them when the season's over with, too. There's some truth to that.
So holidays coming up. We know that you're a movie guy. You've shared with us your top five in the past, and I think you're an action guy as well. People wanting to know, listeners to the show want to know, do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Absolutely. Yeah, I had this discussion with my wife last year, and she disagreed. And then we asked, what's it called, like the Amazon Alexa?
Uh-huh.
And Amazon Alexa agrees that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, so I felt like that confirmed it for our family.
And what is your favorite Christmas movie? Is it Die Hard, or is it something else?
Good question. I mean, I don't know that I have a favorite. I mean, Home Alone's a classic.
Yeah.
Elf's really good, right? That's a classic. I mean, Bad Santa's pretty funny. I don't know that I have a favorite, though. Maybe Home Alone.
Oh, that's
good
not,
answer.
That's not too bad. That's another one that's a fringe Christmas movie. Are you a big Christmas song guy?
I like Christmas music. You don't play it until after Thanksgiving, but yeah, I like Christmas music.
What's your favorite there?
I'd probably go like Amy Grant, like the Tennessee Christmas album. That's a pretty good one. That's a throwback.
That was in heavy rotation. That was in heavy rotation in my house growing up. The Amy Grant Christmas is a good one.
I've never heard it. I'm going to have to check it out.
That's a solid one. And then what's the, like, the Mannheim Steamrollers, I think, or...
We played that on the show yesterday, like
that. Yeah. That's a classic, you know, Christmas album.
Absolutely.
You can't go wrong with Mariah Carey either, right? Like, that's always good. But I'd probably lean a little bit more towards, like, Amy Grant or the I think it's Mannheim Steamrollers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Go. What about you and the family? Do you guys have any special Christmas traditions and anything that you guys do annually over the holidays is just for you?
Not necessarily. Just time together. We'll have some sort of competition, I'm sure.
There we go.
You know, Thanksgiving, we play Uno every year, and whoever loses gets their face drawn on. But we don't have anything quite like that for Christmas. We're just going to do something. I mean, we'll have some sort of competition, Scrabble game, something where we play against each other for sure.
Who's the most competitive in the Landing crew of the five of you?
It's definitely me or our youngest son, Titan.
Okay.
We're kind of twins when it comes to that. Both sore losers and both pretty competitive.
Have you gotten to the point where you're letting Titan or any of his brothers win, or is it still like, no,
never,
I'm going to dominate? You have to earn this
victory.
When does
that point come? Yeah, no, I'm definitely not doing that.
Talking to head coach Dan Lanning of the Oregon Ducks. So you mentioned you have your entire calendar mapped out all the way until, you said, the end of July. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so what is, just not going into even next year, but the time between now and the first, what does it look like for the players? How much practice, how much downtime? I know you mentioned there'd be a point which they'd get to see their families. Is that going to be right over Christmas, or is that a little bit earlier?
Yeah, we'll have practice on Sunday morning, and then our guys will get an opportunity to go home and be home until Christmas, and then back here Christmas Eve. We're kind of doing a 3 days on, 3 days or a day off model when it comes to practices right now. Like I said, hopping into a couple of opponents. So we'll have practice tomorrow, practice on Saturday, practice on Sunday morning, and then be give them a little bit of time, then come back and kind of hit into a normal flow of a game week before the Rose Bowl.
I got one last question, and maybe this is just a question for me because I played for him, but obviously you have Coach Tinker on your staff. Is he the oldest young person that you've ever been around? I mean, I feel like that guy has energy out the wazoo. And then he's always – is he still talking about his Zodiac sign? Is he still big on that with the kids?
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorites to be around, man. Coach Tinker does an unbelievable job for us, and he certainly brings the juice on the field. And you talk about like special facts, you wouldn't believe some of the facts that Tinker knows, that you didn't realize people knew the answer to questions. He'd probably be pretty good on Jeopardy or something like that. But, he's a great one to coach with. We certainly enjoy having him.
Well, Coach, we know that you're a busy man, lots to do this month, and hopefully for the entire month ahead as you guys head into the playoff. Thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck in the Rose Bowl.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks.
Coach Lanning's interviews on The Fan, brought to you every week by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. Okay, so Coach played ball with us a little bit this time around.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we could have gone down the Christmas road for a while with him, and specifically the Christmas movie road, but I'm not sure he's got all the time for that.
No, it felt like he like had a schedule that he knew he had to keep. He's like, hey, you boys get like two more minutes, and then I got to go out recruiting some more. I got to go dive back into the game film. I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with football coaches this time of year that are able to, one, still have the family traditions and the holidays, but also understand of like, you get this amount of time, you get this break, and then it's locked back in. Because I know for me, I'll be honest, the last week or so, it's like, come on, let's get to the holiday break, let's go. I'm not super focused in on work. I know a bunch of people, Doug Gottlieb, who haven't been focused in on work for the entire month of December.
Doug Gottlieb.
So to see Coach Lanning be that locked in and already know what his July is going to entail, that's very impressive.
On that Gottlieb tip, yo, I did see today that earlier in the month, he posted a meme.
That's what I'm talking
about. Okay, so obviously Gottlieb's been in the news because of the fact that he lost to, quote, nobody you, something that he dubbed Division II Michigan Tech. This is after he tried to dunk on Schefter about NIL stuff, and Schefter put him in a Twitter locker. Well, people are now going through Gottlieb's other tweets and apparently posted some meme earlier in the month that was like, December 7th to 12th, pretend to do work but don't actually do any. December 12th to 18th, drink a lot, still don't do any work. And the dude hasn't won all month. He's not won a basketball game.
You've got two jobs, bro, two. You shouldn't be posting that. You see Ryan Seacrest with his American Idol gig, his radio gig, his Wheel of Fortune gig, posting that kind of crap? No. God.
All right, we need to move things along. A little Coach Lanning post-game show coming up next. Plus, we have to preview the Ducks in primetime. I didn't get to that with Coach, but you have Bo Nix and Justin Herbert going head-to-head Thursday Night Football. Huge ramifications for both teams as they chase the wild card. We will get to that on the other side. You're listening to an SOB edition of Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back to Primetime. Pleasure to talk with Coach Lanning, especially as they are getting geared up for this playoff. Not 10 days away. Today's what, the 19th? So about 12 days away for the Ducks and the Rose Bowl, I believe, if my math is right, and it's often not. But I was blown away by him saying that they have, I guess I'm not surprised that he has 365 days on his calendar, like he knows exactly what he's doing. That's not totally surprising. But the fact that he just came out of a meeting in which he told the entire staff exactly what they're going to be doing from now until January, the end of July.
That's awesome. It's also why I would never be a coach. Like, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. You know
so
what I mean?
Here's the thing is, I'm like you. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow either. I mean, there's some things that I have to do. I also feel like when you have that much structure, it's kind of easy. I don't want to say it's easy. It may be easier to do your job and strive and focus. Like it's all laid out for you. Follow the path, go for it.
Right. Like lay it all out before you. I mean, this is why they say not to procrastinate. I probably should have listened more in high school. Clearly Coach Lanning did. I think the most impressive thing to me, as well as like we talked about it earlier, being able to compartmentalize of, hey, I need to be working now. It's the most important time. But then, you know, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I can go be with my family or, you know, whatever holiday that you support. But being able to keep the kids, I guess I shouldn't say kids, the young men on the same path and keep them locked in as well. Because this is a quintessential time for most of those players to go, hey, I get to go home. This is supposed to be my break. And if it wasn't, right, like if this was past years, it's, oh, hey, I get to go home for Christmas and then I lock back in for a week and it's only 1 week and I'm going to play, you know, in the Rose Bowl, or I have to lock in for 1 week and then there's a possibility that 8 days down the line I get to play on a Monday to try and win the national title. Like, you have to be locked in essentially for a month. You're going to play three games.
Yeah.
And with the schedule that Oregon could potentially have laid out in front of them, you're essentially going to probably play two road games. Mm-hmm. Like, you are going to play the Rose Bowl, and that might be the closest you get to a neutral site.
Oh, yeah. It will be.
You're going to have to travel to the Cotton Bowl,
yep.
And there's a chance you play Texas, and there's a world, and I don't think it's, you know, that improbable, where if you win that game, you're in Atlanta playing Georgia.
We will get into our playoff poinsettia a little bit later, or poinsettia if you prefer. But tonight, a really cool thing happening for Duck alums as two Oregon great quarterbacks going head-to-head, Bo Nix versus Justin Herbert on Thursday Night Football. Both teams currently in a wild card spot. They're kind of trending in different directions. The Chargers have lost 3 of 4. They are in the seventh and final wild card spot, but they are 2 games clear of the Colts, Dolphins, and Bengals. Meanwhile, the Broncos 1 game ahead of the Chargers, but the Broncos dogs tonight. I know that Justin Herbert has been banged up. For one, I just think it's cool for Duck fans, for the university to say, there's only 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, and we got 2 of them. They're playing against each other in primetime. That's awesome. But beyond that, how do you read this game?
Right now, I read it for the Broncos. They seem to be hot, and it's because of the play of Bo Nix. Like, don't get me wrong. Bo Nix did not look stellar last Sunday. 3 interceptions, mm-hmm. no bueno. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. Those were, for the most part, in the first half. What does he do? He comes back in the second half. He locks in. He throws 3 touchdowns. He leads a fourth quarter comeback. And it feels like Bo Nix is just Drew Brees 2.0, because the system that Sean Payton has is he wants a quarterback that is going to make smart decisions pre-snap. And again, not turn the football over, so Sunday wasn't the best version of that, but get the ball out of your hands quickly. He wants a high completion percentage. He wants efficiency. And that's what Bo Nix became when he went to Oregon. Mm-hmm. He was efficient under Dillingham, and then he got even more efficient when he got under Coach Stein. So it feels almost like the two of them needed each other in a way. Like, Bo works perfectly in the Peyton system, and Peyton's system needs a QB like Bo. I don't know if a quarterback like a Jaden Daniels would be as successful, because Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, you can throw him in this as well, need a little bit more of that freewheeling playground style of football. And then when you look at the Chargers, it feels like they're crashing. It just feels like the injuries have gotten too much on that offensive line. Yeah. You don't have Dobbins anymore, so that run game has taken a gigantic step back. I still like the Chargers, and when I look at Jim Harbaugh, he wins everywhere. He's always found a way to win. He's going to find a way to win in LA. They might even make the playoffs.
He's but already won like more games this year than they won all of last year with you could argue with less personnel. I mean, they lost Keenan Allen. They lost Austin Eckler.
McConkey's been huge.
McConkey has been absolutely great for them.
Awesome.
That's been massive. But yeah, the job that Harbaugh has been doing is great. And I think so much, you talk about the way that Nix and Peyton have fit together. I think fit with quarterback, coach, and team matters so much. I mean, you see, I've heard it knocked around that like it doesn't matter who the Bears took, that quarterback was going to struggle because of the situation that they were going into. Whereas if Caleb Williams goes somewhere else, maybe he has a more successful season. I agree with you that I'm not sure Jaden Daniels could have thrived in the Peyton system the way Knicks have, but also like, we didn't get our best out of Justin Herbert for a long time before Harbaugh got there. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're still not seeing the best, but he went like 11 straight games without a pick. He's leading that team. He's running the ball.
Right.
Now he's a little bit banged up, but it's really interesting to see what happens when a above average quarterback can get fit and paired with the right coach and the right system.
Well, it shows you that just because you're in the NFL doesn't mean you're a good coach. Like, how often does Joey Harrington talk about this where he'd go into different systems and it's like, well, we run the West Coast system and we all learned under Walsh or Holmgren. And Joey would go and ask them a question of like, well, why are we throwing that route? It doesn't seem to kind of fit with the rest of the play scheme. And the coach would be like, well, that's what Bill Walsh did, so that's what I do. And I think, honestly, you want to look at Chicago, that's what Shane Waldron is. Shane Waldron is like, well, that's what Sean McVay did, so that's what I do. You know, his route schemes are not that complicated. Most teams can figure them out. You run 3 or 4. Everything is to the edges. Nothing is at the middle of the field. There's no crossing routes. There's a reason why you see a lot of the air raid mesh coming into the fold. And if you don't know what mesh is, it's just a lot of crossing short. They're short, quick passes. It's where this year you're seeing a lot more pick plays get called and pick penalties get called for offensive PI. And that's all that route is trying to do. It's trying to beat man coverage by having two offensive players run tight to each other. He doesn't even do something as simple as that. So it does show that landing spot for a quarterback is what's most important, but it also shows the fit. Like, Andy Reid and Mahomes fit together. Mm-hmm. If you had Sean Payton come in to work with Mahomes, would Mahomes still be great? Yes. Would he be as great? I don't know.
Hard to know.
I honestly don't think so. I think that Sean Payton had two quarterbacks in this class that he could go get possibly a third that would work. J.J. McCarthy would work,
mm-hmm.
possibly Drake May, mm-hmm. and Bo Nix would for sure work, and you're seeing him work.
Yep.
And I think it's also, Duck fans don't truly realize how lucky they are, because if you think about it, you went from Herbert, who was great, and didn't get the true love that he deserved because of the offensive scheme that you were running at the time that he was there. Bo Nix was clearly great. He got invited to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and I think if you beat UW in the Pac-12 championship game,
he wins it. Yeah.
And then you go from him to Dylan Gabriel, who also gets an invitation to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and he has led your team in his first year in the system.
And now reports that his draft stock is going up. He was a guy going into the year, people were like, maybe too small, maybe not a big enough arm. Mm-hmm. They're saying that he might be the second or third best quarterback in the draft now, based on, you know, who's coming back, who's leaving, who has underperformed, frankly. You know, Drew Aller coming back to school, Quinn Ewers, no one knows what his future looks like, and Gabriel suddenly becoming a guy you may see yet another Duck in the NFL. I mean, this is apropos of nothing, but quick question. Do you think the Ducks' next quarterback is already on their roster, or do you think they're going to go in and getting that guy?
I think there's a world where, yes, he is, and I think there's a world where, no, he's not.
I don't know.
There is a lot of smoke to the rumor that Quinn Ewers is going to go into the portal. There is a lot of talk that his NFL draft grade is not high enough. And frankly, I agree. He hasn't been the same quarterback since he broke his collarbone. Mm-hmm. He loves to pick on lesser tier opponents, but when he's played legit NFL, you know, caliber defenses, and when I say that, I mean the talent on the roster.
Right. He dominates the teams he should, and then he's more challenged against teams with pro level talent.
The thing that jumps out in my eyes, when they are in the red zone, Texas calls fade routes or quick tunnel screens to wide receivers, bubble screens to wide receivers, or just screens to the running back. They don't run crossing patterns where you have to fit it into a tight window. Because remember, in the red zone, everything shrinks, and they don't ask Quinn Ewers to do that. And the reason they don't is because they don't think he has the arm strength. They have the wide receiver talent at Texas to be able to run those routes and to have those wide receivers open, but they can't do it because of who their quarterback is right now. And that is what's killing his draft stock. And so to me, if I'm Quinn Ewers, I want to come back to college. One, my NIL is going to be fine, and I'm going to make not as much as an NFL rookie. Actually, maybe he will, depending on where he lands, but he's going to make enough money to where he's going to be fine. But he needs to prove to the NFL that he can do that if he wants to be a first round or second round draft pick. So he needs to come back. But if he comes back, how do you hold Arch Manning off for a third year?
You can't and you won't.
I don't think you do. So do you let...
Otherwise, he's bolting, and then Oregon can get him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get a Manning to Oregon, please.
And where would Quinn Ewers fit the best in? A quarterback with not the strongest arm, but is pretty good at making decisions and getting the ball out of his hands quickly?
Well, if Ewers does go to the NFL, to wrap up our other Duck conversation about Nix and Justin Herbert, I would hope that Ewers gets a better coach than Jim Harbaugh. He is a good NFL coach, but he's kind of put all this on Justin Herbert. So if I'm looking at these two, I'm happier to be in Bo Nix's situation because, yeah, you drafted Joe Alt, you drafted Ladd McConkey, but even with Alt, you've still had a very injured offensive line for the Chargers. It hasn't really seemed like it's not just really Harbaugh's like MO. It's almost like he is poo-pooing going and getting outside talent or acquiring a wide receiver to help out Justin Herbert or any running back of note. Like, I'm sorry, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards aren't going to get it done, and against one of the best run defenses in the NFL tonight, I just don't see it working for the Chargers. And that's why I think Justin Herbert's banged up, because it's been all on him.
He has had a lot put on him, and that, I mean, I don't want to say that's unfortunate. He has been thriving to a degree, but he needs help.
It's
obvious that he needs help, and I think that's going to be on the GM less than it is on Harbaugh. But
I
feel like Harbaugh poo-pooing it could also have something to do with, like, I don't know if our GM is going to go out and get somebody, so I have to say this and say, hey, we're good with the guys we got, we like it, whatever. But there's no arguing that he has gotten results out of quarterbacks that weren't showing him before. Mm-hmm. You remember, he was the one who resurrected Alex Smith's career, who was just dog mess in San Francisco. He had six coordinators over 6 years, and Harbaugh comes in and makes him like a 13-3 quarterback. So.
This I think is the best opportunity for Herbert, and I'd make the argument, although I do see where you're coming from, Schultzy, I'd make the argument that you're asking less of him because you have a better defense.
Okay.
With the old coaches in Staley and with Anthony Lynn, it was the defense has struggled, so Herbert had to go out there and chuck the ball around a bunch. Offensive line injuries, there's not much you can do about that. That just kind of happens. But if Joe Alt continues to improve in the spot that he's been in,
and he's been
you're
great.
Going to mix him with Rashawn Slater, who has been fantastic when he's been healthy. J.K. Dobbins, when he was healthy this year, he was running at a Pro Bowl level. Just remember what Harbaugh does. Like, Harbaugh has never really had that big-name wide receiver. When he was at San Francisco, his best wide receiver was Michael Crabtree, maybe? He built that team off a strong offensive line, a running game that could run the football. He'd go and get a top tier tight end, so Vernon Davis. So don't be shocked if they go and try and make a move for a tight end that if you're in Harbaugh's system, you have to be able to block, but he can be a big pass catcher in, you know, 11, 12 personnel situations. But I would expect that this wide receiver group doesn't change too much. That's not Harbaugh's MO. Expect the offensive line to continue to bulk and bulk up, and expect that defense to continue to get better, because that's just how he builds teams. He built it that way in San Francisco. He built it that way in Michigan, and eventually it will work. He proved it in Michigan.
Quick one before we get to in the news. They've got a 2-game lead on the wild card. Yes or no, they make the playoffs.
The Chargers. They have a what game lead?
They have a 2-game lead, yes, on the Colts. Let me see. Yes, I have it up here.
I think they make the playoffs because I don't trust the Colts. Right now, your quarterback in Indianapolis is completing 47% of his passes, and he has more interceptions than he has touchdowns passing. I don't trust Anthony Richardson, and I think he will throw the Colts out of a playoff.
So, 3 games to go. They've got a 2-game lead on the Colts, Dolphins, and Bengals. So if any of those teams goes 3-0 and finishes 9-8 and you only win one of your remaining 3 games, then you're in tiebreaker scenario. But if you win two of your next of your last three, you're automatically
I
in.
Don't trust the Bengals. Their defense is not very good.
And you don't trust Mike McDaniel to beat good teams.
No. The other thing is the Broncos is a difficult game. You play the Patriots and you play the Raiders.
Yep.
You should go 2-1, worst case scenario.
That's right. All right, well, in the news is coming up next. Ready to spread some holiday cheer with you all. Saw Woo! Some positive things. TriMet announcing a new deal. Will anyone ride? And which sport is booming in popularity in the Northwest? We'll let you try to guess at that. Plenty of it coming up on In the News on Primetime, but here's Schultzy with SportsCenter. Welcome back to Primetime. Failed to mention earlier that Will was being attacked by one of our listeners about calling Home Alone a fringe Christmas movie with head coach Dan Lanning.
It is.
It's no, it's not a fringe that's, Christmas
it's,
movie.
It's, no, that's no, a bad because take, no, 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 no. Incorrect. I love Home Alone, but I call it a fringe Christmas movie, just like Die Hard, because it is not situated. It's situated around Christmas, but it's not like a Christmas movie. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a Christmas movie. Frosty the Snowman, Christmas movie.
The events happen on Christmas. Which
here's
makes
the other
it
thing:
a Christmas movie.
The only reason that the Wet Bandits are rolling through that suburb of Chicago is because it's Christmas,
it's
and they expect people to
Christmas.
Be away.
So then, should I watch Independence Day on the 4th of July every year?
No.
Some people do,
guys. By that logic, then Four Christmases isn't a Christmas movie. They could be going to their in-laws' houses on any other day because they missed their trip to Fiji, not specifically because of a Christmas holiday, but
you know,
it is on Christmas.
I'm not going to die on the hill of is Four Christmases a Christmas movie or not. It is a funny movie, though.
I mean, this is going to send us down a path.
Come on, dude.
Home Alone's definitely a Christmas movie.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's on the fringe.
I think it is squarely entrenched in the middle of Christmas.
I can understand the people that say it's not a Christmas movie.
The
I can
family's
understand
leaving because it's Christmas. The robbers are robbing because it's Christmas. He goes to church because it's Christmas.
I'm not saying it's not a Christmas movie. I'm just saying I can hear both sides. There are good people on both sides of the argument.
Okay. So now this is coming up on the text line. Someone pointing out, and Schultzy and I discussed this when you had to hop over to the Pilots yesterday. People say Gremlins is a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Is it on Christmas?
I don't know. So I saw Gremlins when I was really little. I think it was like a 19... It was an 80s movie. So I would have to know whether... I mean, I have to go back and watch it, but I can't get around.
I mean, it is. I think it starts out with...
Is it on Christmas?
Well, one of the main characters like goes into a store to start the movie looking for a Christmas present. Am I wrong? I haven't watched Gremlins in a long time.
I've never seen it.
This has gone on long enough. It's time for In the News. Sorry, Schultzy.
No, you're fine. Sorry, I was just... Be deep in Christmas movies over here.
I'm getting attacked.
Today is Thursday, December 19th. It is, let's see, where are my notes? There they are. It is National Hard Candy Day. Do you guys have a favorite hard candy?
My grandpa used to go around and give out Werther's. He would do it in a way where like you thought it's like the fake money or the slide in the money thing that they did in Sopranos all the time.
You're slipping somebody.
Oh, yeah. It was a handshake and it would sneak its way in there. It was always funny to watch people who didn't understand what he was doing be like, hey, here's your Werther's back, dude.
The Werther's are clutch. Also, those little root beer barrels, those are probably my favorite hard candy as well.
Interesting.
Got to go to like a classic candy store for those, though.
Yeah, and I was never much of a hard candy person. I always preferred the gummies, but Jolly Rancher.
Love Jolly Ranchers.
Hard to beat. I'll go watermelon number one, apple number two.
I hate strawberry-flavored stuff, though, because it's not strawberry.
Yeah.
It tastes nothing like it.
Yeah. It's also National Regifting Day. Have you guys ever regifted anything?
All the time.
Really?
All the time, dude.
What's the last thing you regifted?
Well, I can't tell you that, because then people are like, no!
Wait, what's the last thing that you regifted to someone who's not listening?
probably a lot of things. I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of like gift card, just like, here, dude, you have it. You use this. This would be better for you. There's a lot of like, hey, here's a Starbucks gift card, Mr. Ortner. Like, I'm not going to use this. You use the Starbucks.
You know what? That's Isaac had a whole rant on Monday about how if you give a gift card as a Christmas gift, that's a cop out gift. And like, shame on you. You should go pick out something for the person who you're giving a gift.
Disagree.
For. I thought that it was tiered. If somebody has asked for something specific, like a gift card specifically, or there's somewhere that you know they want to go, or something that they want to, a place they want to purchase from, that's different than just like, I don't know what to get them. Here's $25 for Starbucks.
Right. Well, I appreciate the gift card if it's something that I will use. Just like I'm trying to learn to drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at it. I don't like
How's that
it.
Going?
It's not going well. I had a C4 when I was coming in today. And
that's not
I
coffee.
No, it's not. And I had a pre-workout before I lifted.
I'm trying.
I have coffee in the house. I will only drink it with protein, though.
You put protein in the coffee.
That's yeah.
Will Levis style, drop a little mayo in there?
That's gross. I would never do that. But if I put the protein in there, I don't really taste it as much. And it has to be cold. I won't do hot coffee. It's a thing. Look, I'm trying to grow up. Big on Amazon gift cards, though. On the Vancouver Ford text line, they said Amazon cards. Love that.
I mean, that's basically getting cash, because you could buy pretty much anything.
I mean, if more regifting were happening when it was like, like you guys said, I knew that this person wanted this specific item that I got, don't really need myself. Yeah, that makes somebody happy, but that's not the traditional definition that we're thinking of for regifting. It's some crappy thing that you don't want that you're pushing off on somebody else hoping they want it, but they're probably not gonna.
That's exactly right. Let's see, we have some notable birthdays today. How about magician Chris Angel? Did you guys ever watch Mind Freak?
Oh, Chris Angel. Chris Angel did it better. I remember those YouTube videos.
I don't remember those. What was that?
Oh my God, it's David Blaine. There was like this David Blaine impersonator that would put eye makeup on and cut his hair just like him. And they were just making fun of like, this was at the time when TV magic was huge. Like it was David Blaine after David Blaine special. Then Chris Angel followed it up with Mind Freak. So yeah, around that time, some YouTube parodies were going around.
I still remember him walking on water. I thought it was awesome until I found out how he did it.
There's a plastic clear platform under the water.
Or glass. I can't remember which.
It's also Alyssa Milano's birthday. It's Warren Sapp's birthday. It is
Suk's best friend.
You know what? The person who I got more run out of than I ever should have in Madden, Joe Jurevicius. He was like a third receiver on Tampa in like an 0-2 game or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe 98. I don't know. Might have been Madden 98.
He was part of their Super Bowl team, I think.
I have a vague recollection of him.
A Penn State great, if I'm not mistaken. It's also Jake Plummer's birthday. I think he's doing a lot of weed stuff these days.
Mushrooms.
He's
a big mushroom. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he's like on the forefront of mushroom technology.
It is Jake Gyllenhaal's birthday as well.
Shouts out the Prince of Persia.
Wait, what?
That's what he was. He was the Prince of Persia.
In a movie?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I didn't know that.
That was Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, that was the name of the movie.
I remember that. Wasn't that a video game? I think that was a video game when
I was growing
up. That sounds about right.
Jake Gyllenhaal rocks?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a really good actor. I know very little of him as a person.
He seems like he'd be a good hang, but he also wouldn't shock me if he kind of sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
I could see either one. I could see him being cool or being a lame.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I like him. I think every time I see him, nothing he does bothers me, but he also doesn't make me like jump out of my chair. Like when Glenn Powell's going out there and he's doing interviews, I'm like, I want to go hang out with Glenn Powell. Got a big man crush on Glenn Powell.
When's that new show that he's going to be in, starring as like a
Chad
former
Powers?
Duck?
Yeah, he is a duck. That's
yeah,
right.
He is in the movie. I don't know. I don't know when it comes out. I'll watch it. I've watched.
Hell yeah.
I had a run there for like a 2 or 3 day thing where I watched every single movie he was in, even the stupid chick flick one. It was a problem.
Well, you get to see Sydney Sweeney in that one, so it's not terrible.
Not the chick flick movie you're thinking about. That I would consider a comedy. You're talking No Strings Attached. The chick flick I'm talking about, he and Zoe Dutch, like they try and get their bosses together. And Lucy Liu is in it.
Weird.
How about a little bit of holiday cheer to... there's a bunch of nasty stories out there today that I don't really want to get to. One, we might have to because it's so crazy, but there are some good things happening in the world, and specifically here in Portland. So I've read this story that there are 34 pets that have a shot at a second lease on life. They were pets that were, I guess, going to be euthanized in other shelters across the country out of Louisiana that were they're rescued from hurricanes. Some of them are amputee pets, but they're all coming to Portland for the opportunity to be adopted here. So if you're looking for a pet over the holiday, check out the local shelters because there are 34 new pets here available for your adoption. Hopefully, these pups can find a nice home.
Are these all from like homes that were like destroyed and people like 34 pets like, you know, like owners are now looking for those pets or just not caring? I've always wondered how that works in national disasters and situations like this. My cats are chipped. So wherever they end up, we're going to try to find them.
Right.
And if they're in a shelter, we're going to try to find them. I love this kind of thing. I've just always wondered how this happens. And I love my pets so much, I would never want to let them go. And I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is out of necessity, how much of it is people who think that they're just lost. Maybe they're not chipped at all.
That's
true. I don't. It's a curious situation. I'm not exactly sure what the answer is for it, but I've wondered that as well. Like I know that you're in the middle of saving your family from a disaster, but it seems like every pet owner has the heart that they want to know, for at least for the most part.
You would hope so. Otherwise, why have the pet?
Every pet owner I talk to, like, I would die without my pet. So that's like kind of, I guess that's the thought that comes into play here.
Well, the Portland police and the Portland firefighters are battling it out. Do you want to hear about that? It's actually positive.
Ooh. Well, you know what they say. Firefighters have to have heroes, too. That's why we have cops.
Is that what they say?
That's what my uncle says. Guess what job he has? He's a cop.
I would imagine. The Portland police officers and firefighters are engaged in a friendly holiday competition, part of their annual Commander's Challenge to raise money for the Salvation Army. So they are setting up on opposite corners around Portland, trying to raise money and basically seeing which unit can develop more, but they have the goal of raising $500,000 this holiday season for the Salvation Army, which is awesome.
Isn't that not fair? Because like the firefighters have like they can hand out their calendars and stuff,
and they have a cool truck for you to play on. Probably
that's right. Like they're probably.
I bet the firefighters
do
a little bit better in this competition, but it doesn't say who's won previous years.
Mustaches are big right now, so that feels like a firefighter lean.
No, that's a cop lean. What are you talking about?
They both have mustaches.
No, but my dad grew up. up, 27-year veteran for the Marin County Police Department, had a mustache the entire time.
Now we're going to have to get to the bottom of this. Who has more mustaches? Mustaches per person.
All right.
Cops or firefighters.
Is it a percentage?
Couple more stories to get here. We have a couple area steakhouses among the country's best, a couple Oregon wines among the country's best. We also have the sport that is surging in the Northwest. And if we have to, how one sex offender managed to enroll in high school. We'll get to that coming up next, or maybe not. We'll see. Primetime, 1080 The Fan. Welcome back to Primetime. Time for maybe one or two more stories in the news. I teased this yesterday, so I want to make sure we get to it. You guys like steak?
Fan.
Love it.
I think it's A1.
Ooh, favorite cut of steak?
You know what? Because I'm a Neanderthal and I would like to eat it with my hands. I am big on
the tomahawk.
Thank you. The
nice.
Tomahawk. I was going to say ribeye is my first and a tomahawk is my second.
Okay.
Ribeye with a lot of fat because look at me. Do I look like I don't skip the fat in my steak? Of course not.
So I used to be a ribeye guy. Recently, I've been more of a New York. With the New York, you basically get the strip of fat on the side that you can kind of render down, but it's much less marbled than the ribeye is. And for whatever reason, I've just kind of skewed that way recently. And then, how do you guys cook your steaks? Well done, medium rare.
Rare, right?
Medium.
You have
maybe
to.
Medium.
Well,
you have
it's
to
different
go
for different
rare.
People.
Well, if you order it well done, you're a heathen, and
agreed.
Don't go to a steakhouse and do that because they'll give it to you, but you're wasting your damn money.
I was gonna say, I made sure on the brother's bachelor party, everyone went medium rare.
Yeah.
There was a underlying tone of there's going to be problems if you don't do it the right way.
And there should be, especially at a nice steakhouse. I actually had a family friend who he grew up in the Midwest and his whole family always had their steak well done. And they
disavow.
Like no red, no pink, no nut, like brown all the way through.
Just
and
dry.
And his family would have like steak nights on Friday and he freaking hated it. Ugh. And then he went out to like a dinner with a friend's family when he was like 13 or 14 and one of them ordered a steak that was like medium or medium rare. He's like, what is that? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know? And he's like, you can do that? It, like, changed his life
like,
and blew his mind.
Best. This is the greatest thing ever. I will tell you what, in Vegas, they will look down on you if someone falls asleep at your table at the steak restaurant.
Although I bet it happens nightly there.
It was not me, but someone did fall asleep and had to take a nap.
That's a pretty common thing in Vegas. That happened to one of our friends at the Hard Rock Bar, too, in Vegas.
Nice.
So.
I fallen asleep at a craps table standing up. That was hard to
do.
Dude,
that's awesome. I did that at a...
Just leaning on the rail.
How long were you up? Yeah. Was that like your 24 hours straight of being up without a place to sleep in Vegas or something?
No, I think it was just young and tied one on, and it was like 2 in the morning, and I should have gone back to my room, and I was just leaning on the rail, and the stick man just like elbowing me a couple times, like, hey, buddy, you got to keep your head up if you want to stay at the table.
You got
to
leave.
I'm like, I'm good. I was not good.
Oh, dude, Bon Iver put me to sleep one of the times I was working security for them. Not a big Bon Iver fan, if you can't tell. Literally fell asleep standing there.
So, speaking of steak locally, Yelp, which is obviously reviewed by the users, has released their list of top 25 steakhouses in the U.S.
Do we have one?
Two of them right here in the Portland area. One of them, many familiar with. I've eaten there once at Ox, the Argentinian steakhouse. Mm. Really good. But one I've never heard of, out in Hillsboro, which is kind of out my way past Beaverton, the Fajita Steak and Ribs. That is number 7 on Yelp's list. It's a Vietnamese restaurant that they say is known for their secret house recipe for all their steaks. So this is something that I... As a newsman and reporter, I'm going to have to investigate for you further.
No, I'm going to have to try Ox. I've never tried it.
And Ox is on is 22 on the list, but Ox is fantastic. It's in Northeast, and it's Argentinian inspired. They you go in there, they have like the big roaring wood oven where they like throw them in on super hot.
That's awesome.
They're poking around with like the embers and stuff like that.
I love that.
They have a lot of other offerings beyond just steak too. You can get good lamb and things like that. So that place is awesome.
Is Fogo de Chão a steakhouse?
Yes, steakhouse, Brazilian steakhouse. Brazilian. Chain.
It falls under that as well. Yep. That's good stuff. And I've been there before.
The
That's
specific
tough.
Draw to Fogo de Chão, or I think it's Fogo de Chão, if you say it correctly.
I'm not going to pronounce it correctly.
Well, I went to Brazil when I was 11, so I saw their fare, which was basically meat being served and cut to you off of the stick.
They do the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, the meat being brought right from the flame out to your table and cut for you. It is so fresh. It is so good. And that is the way that you eat steak or any kind of meat. Chicken, lamb in Brazil, and it is.
Yeah, they come up with like chicken hearts sometimes. There's there are a bunch of nice little delicacies there. Here's the key to a Fogo de Chão or a Fogo de Chão, depending on how you say it. Don't do the buffet before. They always get you. Listen, the buffet, like the salad bar buffet, is great. There's all this stuff, but. They will wait after they seat you. They will let you hit the salad bar first for a good 15 to 20 minutes, then come around with the meat. Once you're already pretty much full with all the sides, the potato dishes, the salads,
they're smart.
Wait on that. Get your meat first, then add your sides. You'll thank me later.
Also,
patience is virtue.
Don't do the after-dinner drink cart. My wife and I made that mistake, and they poured us, you know, they were talking about all these nice different liquors. We were young. We were stupid, but we each got served a $50 shot of alcohol unknowingly. I think that girl kind of pulled one over on us and, you know, still...
What kind of shot?
One was... whiskey, but just like some highfalutin stuff, and then the other was what's the champagne that's
it's like a different version of champagne,
cognac. Thank you.
Oh,
champagne that's
to get you with a $50 Hennessy shot,
basically. Yeah, well, yeah, $50 shot of cognac, $50 shot of whiskey, and yeah, they weren't worth it, and we didn't realize it until we got the bill.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, so no after dinner drink cart, but everything else there's awesome.
Well, that is about all the time we have for In the News. In the News, always brought to you by The Advocates. Remember, if you get hurt, you don't need a lawyer. You need an advocate. You can reach them at advocateslaw.com. Coming up, the Hot 5 at 5. Plenty of football news going on today. And then we will get into our playoff poinsettia, all the playoff previews for the four games coming up this week, as well as the college football playoff bracket, some of our picks and best bets as well. It's all coming up on Primetime 1080 The Fan.